1 Kings, the 3rd chapter. The Bible says in verse number 3, Solomon loved the Lord. If they write anything about me, I hope they will put a period at the end of that and not write anything else. How about you? Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. So he continued to live by the same pattern, the same discipline. Of course, we know, you know, David had his faults, his errors. He made some mistakes in his life. But Solomon walked in those statutes of his father. And then it says only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. So Solomon struggled with the idea of embracing other religions, false gods, false idols. And so he would go and worship in that way. I've spoken on many occasions about my friend, and we went into the Buddhist temple in South Korea, and I know him to be a man of God, a man of prayer, a man of faith. And yet, when we were there, he said, give some money so they'll pray for us in our cause. And, you know, I had another friend in the hospital, and she said, I got this one praying for me and that one praying for me. She was naming all different religions. She said, I just figured somebody ought to be able to get through. Well, that's no way to live your life. There is one God, and there is no other. He said that. There is none beside me. And so we shouldn't practice false worship, false religion. But Solomon did. And, you know, a lot of us surmise that the reason he did that is because he married so many women from so many different cultures. And he was trying to be, you know, a man of the people so that everybody would like him. And so he would go to this activity and that activity and this service and that kind of worship. And he would just travel all different places and burn incense at the altars of these idols. So that's the one thing he says in verse 3, brings out. Verse 4, the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. And in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. So Solomon, after doing all of that, he fell asleep and God came to him in a dream. This is a vision. People ask me sometimes, do you believe that God can use dreams? I believe God can do anything he wants to do because he's God. And if he wants to come to you in a dream and give you an understanding or give us, how many of us, and you don't have to raise your hand, have had comfort in seeing someone in a vision, in a dream while you were sleeping, I'm speaking of, and it brought comfort to your heart to see them well because they had passed away or something like that. God can do anything he wants to. And if he wants to do that to bring us hope and bring us comfort and bring us peace, then you can't handcuff God. That's up to him. And so Solomon had this dream. By the way, if you have a dream and you can remember it, that's a good thing. He had this very expressed dream from God. God came to him in a vision, and he says this, ask what I shall give thee. Now, if God came to you and asked that, there may, well, turn it around. What is it that we ask for when we pray? You know, is that the type of thing that we would present to God if he said to us, anything you want is yours? What would we give him? Would we ask for a miracle for the one who's lying in the hospital right now on life support with not much hope? Would we pray for the health of someone who's just a little bit ill, and if they got better, boy, they could really go to town for Jesus? I mean, what is it that we're asking for? Would we ask God to raise up missionaries in our church and preachers in our church? And would we ask God to give us a vision for the future of our ministry? What would we pray for? Simple statement, ask what I should give thee. And Solomon said, verse 6, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, in uprightness of heart with thee. Thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. What a statement, huh? What kind of humility. I mean, to honestly say to God, I have no idea what I'm doing. It's an honest person that will admit they don't know something. To admit that they just either never discovered it, never considered it, weren't taught it. And Solomon says, I'm in over my head, Lord. I'm king, and I don't know how to be king. And it's a great example to us that sometimes when we're following God, we're going to be in over our head. It would be impossible for us to meet the need with our flesh and with our understanding. But because God had orchestrated this where Solomon became king, Solomon is in a position where he needs God. And if we're not living that way, we might not be living in God's will, you know it? If we're not in a position where we need God, where we need His counsel, where we need to talk to Him, we need Him. I think so many times we settle. We find a certain place where we can be and we kind of just settle in. We get comfortable. And when we're comfortable, we say, well, I'm doing all right. Solomon has now been elevated to this position as king of Israel. And he says, I'm in over my head. I'm too young for this. I don't have the experience. I need you. Verse 8. Thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen. A great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. It's a tragic thing, and sometimes I hear it out and about when a pastor has grown so weary in his work that he doesn't appreciate his people, that he doesn't appreciate that his people are God's people, that he doesn't appreciate that God has made him an under-shepherd to take care of his people. But that's what a pastor is. A pastor is supposed to serve the people, and by serving the people, he's serving God. That's his role. And Solomon understands that as the king. Verse 9. Here's the request. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? An understanding heart. Remember we looked this morning, the psalmist was talking about actually that was Paul in Romans 10. He said they have zeal, but they don't have the knowledge. They don't have the experience. They don't have the training. They've missed a whole New Testament. They've missed the whole gospel. They didn't accept Jesus. They have the Old Testament. They know all about that, but they're missing this new thing that God has done, this new covenant, which he spoke about, a new thing he said, I will do. And they were teaching, but they were teaching with insufficient understanding. Solomon's request is, God, I don't want to be short. I don't want to be wrong. I want to be able to discern between good and bad. I want to be able to make the right decision. You know, sometimes we trust our judgment and later find out that we were wrong. Anybody ever been wrong before? Maybe we trust somebody. Later turns out they weren't what we thought they were. But we thought we could discern. We thought we knew good from bad. That's what Solomon's saying. See, people are bringing these cases, these situations to Solomon, and he's got to listen. And here's what I have found over the years, is that people will lie. Do y'all know that? Is that a revelation to you? And you say, no, they did it. And they'll come in there and they'll lie to you, and you figure they're probably lying, but you got no way to prove it. Because people will lie, protect themselves. And here's Solomon, one person will say one thing, the other person will say the other thing. One of them's got to be lying. Which one? So he says, I need discernment. I need to understand. And so, verse number 10, it says, the speech pleased the Lord. That Solomon had asked this thing. It pleased the Lord. Do our prayers please the Lord? Do our requests please the Lord? Is he happy? Is he joyous over our discernment, over our wisdom to know what to ask for, to know what to pray about, to know how to pray? When God looks at us, is he pleased with our request? Verse 11. God said to him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself, and he lists some things here, a long life, which is what most of us, you know, would hope for. Neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, not necessarily because we want to be rich, because we don't want to have need. Nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, revenge, God, get them. But hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Not long life, not riches, not revenge. All fleshly requests, all temporary requests, all personal needs met, personal satisfaction. But he asked for understanding and to discern judgment. Verse 12, behold, I have done according to thy words. Amen. Answered prayer. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, riches and honor. So there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. When the world looks at Israel, when the world looks at King Solomon, all the heads of state will say, what a king. In all your life, there'll be nobody equal to your wisdom and your counsel. And, verse 14, if thou walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. So there's a condition on that one. He gives them wisdom and an understanding heart, discernment and understanding heart. And he adds to him riches and honor, fame, if you will. People look up to him. People are awestruck by his presence and by his wisdom. But the condition of a long life is you got to do right. I'll keep you in here. I'll give you a long life, but you got to walk with me. You got to stay with me. Which is to say that if you get away from me, I will shorten your life. I will take your life. Verse 15, Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. He came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings. Hold on just a second. Y'all remember where he was? Remember what he was doing there? You see, he left the false religion and he came to God's house. He left the world's religion and he came to God's house in Jerusalem, the temple, the tabernacle. He came to that place where he could worship God, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And he forsook the other religions. He forsook the culture. He forsook the acceptance. Because God was all he needed. And he went to God's house and he prayed there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. And he was fulfilled in that. He was satisfied in that. And then there came two women to him. In fact, the Bible clarifies and says they were harlots. And they stood before him, and the one woman said, oh, my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. Came to pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman was delivered also. We were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight, and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. When I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. When I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. She looked at it. She said, this is not my kid. Time is different. Only 3 days apart, right? But there's enough of a difference. That's her child. Verse 22, the other woman said, nay, but the living son is mine. See, I told you, people will lie. Well, I mean, what did you expect her to say? Yeah, you got me. the dead one is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. And thus they spake before the king. And I imagine Solomon was sitting there saying, well, hold on, do I need to be here for this? Y'all going to talk to each other? Y'all couldn't talk to each other and get it settled. That's why you came here, so stop talking to each other. And the king said, verse 24, bring me a sword. They brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, give half to the one and half to the other. Well, that's a little far-fetched, isn't it? A little extreme. Verse 26, then spake the woman whose the living child was to the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. She said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, divide it. Isn't that incredible? So in his wisdom, in his discernment, he saw that the genuine love and concern would suffer herself. She would sacrifice or give up the love that she would experience with this son and let him live. She would give up her own heart, basically, so that the child could live. While the other woman insisted on spreading her misery. Right? Guys, there's no doubt. I mean, that was tragic for her. But instead of just experiencing her misery and mourning and suffering through it, she decided she would spread it. She took that dead baby and put it in the other bed and stole the living one. And if that wasn't enough, when the king called for a sword and said, I'm going to cut this one in two and you can each have half, she said, good. Why? Because miserable people like to spread their misery. We have to stay away from that influence, not necessarily those people, but we have to make sure that that doesn't creep into our lives, because miserable people will spread misery. Her selfishness and her pride would not allow her to admit that she was lying. She just held on to the lie, even if it meant the baby would lose his life. But Solomon, in his wisdom, said in verse 27, give her the living child. She is the mother thereof. Why? Because her heart was for that child, even if it would break her heart further. Guys, that's love. And sometimes we have to give up on something in order for it to get better. Remember the old saying, if you love someone, let them go. Or love something, let them go. And if it's yours, it'll come back. And if not, it never was. She was willing to give up something and let that baby, that boy, grow up and be a man and have a life rather than just prove a point and win an argument. You see, in these next few months, who knows what's going to happen now in this country. But there's going to be a lot of debate and a lot of discussion. And we, as God's people, have got to know when it's not worth winning the debate, when it's not worth winning the argument. Because the goal of any debate is truth, not my way. And so sometimes we'll have to just hold our opinions. I've done that already today, many times today. But we have to choose what's more important, this relationship or winning an argument or proving a point. Because if we prove a point and lose a friendship, what's the point? So it's best if we can't discuss it civilly, then there's no advantage to discussing it. That's the bottom line. There's no telling. We need to pray for our country. Because we're not the only ones that see it. The world is watching. And they're seeing a country on a crutch. We got to pray for our country. And most of all, we've got to stand up for what's right and what's true and do the right thing. So, swallow our pride, not win an argument, not bring the demise. You know, again, this message was prepared before the events of today. But we've got to not allow our pride to keep us in something that we don't belong in. Does that make sense? I've seen pastors hang on too long. I've seen bosses and managers and all that hang on too long. I had a pastor friend of mine that passed away. Actually, today's the anniversary of his graduation to heaven 12 years ago. But he, as a pastor, stayed in a church longer than he should have, and that church began to decline, and he waited too late, but he held on longer than he should have. Now, the next church he went to thrived, but God was done with him at that place. And we have to know when to say when. Sister Bobby was here today. She'd say, "Preacher, you going to quit?" "No, I'm not going to quit." But it's important for us to understand that, is that we can't let our pride keep us in something we don't belong part of. Would you stand? Father, we love you. We thank you for your wisdom and for showing us the wisdom of Solomon. God, would you strengthen us and guide us and forgive our sins and make us useful. We realize that, God, we're in a compromised situation as a nation with not that it's never happened before, but just unusual to what we're used to. So I pray that you will guide us through these times, that you'll give us wisdom, help us to be honest and honorable in every conversation we undertake. Forgive our sins. Dismiss us with your blessing. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.